And we've just sung a great prayer about getting into God's word and hearing him. So if you can find our passage in Colossians, page 1184. Trusting to God's help, we will get right in. And it is Christmas season. Yes, we decorated our house yesterday listening to carols. And with my children, we didn't have to rearrange too much other stuff once they'd gone to bed. It's Christmas season. In fact, if you were at one of the other congregations, you might be lighting these candles here that remind us that we're into Advent, an Advent season, which Sam was helping us to remember means about coming. That Christmas is coming. We remember the first arrival of Jesus in the Christmas story. But actually, as Christians, we are looking forward to Jesus coming again. A season of coming. It reminds us that as Christians, we are still waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come. It gives us an urgency. It gives us an importance to how we live our lives. So how are you going to be this Christmas season over these next 2 or 3 weeks? How are you going to witness if you're a Christian? Who are you going to invite? And what are you going to invite them to? How are you going to be? How are you going to speak? When cards and carols and decorations and Christmas is all around, feels like you might burst into song, what are you going to be like? Are these next 2 or 3 weeks, do they feel like a sort of 2 or 3 week international mission week where everywhere there's Christmas and Jesus and the theology of carols? Or maybe you can feel overwhelmed by the secular, atheistic materialism of the greed and selfishness of so much of it. What are we going to be like? How are we going to be this Advent season? I've coined a word. My wife warned me about this, so if you don't like it, you can ignore it. But I thought this season, as it's Advent, we could be adventurers. Thank you very much. If you're not a Christian, this evening we're going to look at what a Christian life looks like, the challenge to live for Jesus. But if you are a Christian, there'll be a challenge to be an adventurer this season. Not to be overwhelmed, to take opportunities, to witness to our Lord Jesus. Because we're reminded again and again here, you are not on your own. You are never on your own. And we're going to see partnerships, various partnerships. We're going to think about our partnership with God as we seek to live out our Christian lives and witness. We're going to think about our partnership with Paul and then how we come to kind of God's word and how it helps us. And then our partnership with each other, brothers and sisters in God's family. We've already had various bits of Colossians read. And if you've been at any of the last few weeks, you'll have ringing to you this theme from Colossians, the fullness of Christ and the verses in Colossians 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And you may know or you may remember that actually all of those verbs and the yous are plural. It's difficult to do in the English. Maybe it's so then, just as y'all received Christ Jesus Lord, continue to live all of your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Do you get it? This was to a church. This was to you as community, to the people of God, working together. You're never on your own. And you might have come across all sorts of different illustrations that may be helpful. The sort of a nice one for this season is maybe a coal fire, and together as coals we stay hot, but then one coal bounces out and on its own it starts to get cold, and you bounce back in amongst and you stay hot because we encourage each other. Whatever your favorite illustration is, all the way through the Bible, God is calling us as a family, as a people. You're never on your own. We reflect God as Trinity, partnership. So there's a lot of partnership in this passage. Verses 2 to 6, I think these are about the partnership with God. This first paragraph, actually, 2 to 6, could sit off still carrying on from the chapter 3 themes. If you remember, kind of right at the beginning of chapter 3, those first four verses, it talks about what has happened. You've died with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. It talks about what is going to come. When Christ is who life appears, you also will appear him in glory. And it talks about, so then now, set your minds and your hearts above. And it's applied living as Christians in church, living as Christians last week in the home, in the family, in the workplace. And this could be living as Christians amongst outsiders. But whatever it is, we rely on God. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We have partnership with God and we rely on God, full reliance on God. And then you take your responsibility in actions and in speech. But first, we rely on God. And verses 2 to 4, as we have partnership with God, as we rely on God, it's about speaking to God and possibly speaking to God about people. So verse 2 is about persevering prayer. If you remember back in Colossians, we've already had Paul as a great model of persevering in prayer for this Colossian church and for other things. Later on in this passage, we'll have Epaphras, who is one of you, verse 12, wrestling in prayer, persevering in prayer for you. Paul and Epaphras, examples of that. What sort of prayer is it? Well, there it is, watchful and thankful. Watchfulness, the sort of danger of don't fall asleep, don't get dopey, don't just sleepwalk into this false teaching that you've been hearing about in the Colossian letter. These extra things that might creep in and take you away from Christ or add on and cloud your vision. Don't get sleepy and dopey on this. Stay watchful. Watch out, spiritually alert. Maybe to see how best we should pray, being watchful in the world and looking to see, praying to God's will for his world. Maybe it's just to see God at work, praying and seeing God at work, being watchful so that we can give thanks when we have answered prayer, when we see answers to prayer and we remember all good things are from God. Persevering prayer, watchful and thankful, yes and yes, but devoted. Devote yourselves to prayer. Is that a description of your prayer life? Is that a description of mine? Are we devoted? Are we passionate about prayer life? Do we love it before other things, coming to our God and sharing our lives and seeking his will? It's a great reminder, particularly if you are sort of a person of action. You like kind of ticking off tasks. Our first duty is to pray. We'll come on to every member ministry and speaking and witness, but first, before that, we come on our knees before our Lord God in prayer. We dwell on God's power and his authority and his love and his goodness, and then that moves us to desire more of his will and his acts in the world. We devote ourselves to prayer. So pray, be watchful, give thanks. See God in the world. Stay awake and be ready to give thanks for the answers that we see. Does that look like sharing prayer points? I hope and pray a number of you in growth groups, whether it's the youth growth groups or sort of the adult ones, sharing prayer points is a big part of that. So we share our lives, letting people properly in to be able to ask those important questions of us. How's your marriage? How's your family life? How's your money? How are those things? And then sharing prayer answers. You pray for something, look for the answer and give thanks to God and share our testimonies together. Come on to verse 3 and 4. And we have a little picture of kind of the word, the message of God as sort of personified, knocking on doors. And Paul says, pray. Pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. He describes the message here as the mystery of Christ. You may know that in the New Testament, it's not a mystery like something that's difficult to unravel, but it's that Christ has been proclaimed all the way through the Old Testament and now has been revealed. So this is a thing that has been revealed, the mystery of Christ. Our message is Christ as Lord. In Colossians, it talks about the word of truth and life. It is Jesus himself being proclaimed. Notice, Paul is probably writing this locked up in prison. When he talks about doors being opened, he's not praying for his own release, but that there are opportunities for the gospel to get out. And also notice that Christian preaching is part of this act of the revelation of Christ. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And that idea of proclaiming it clearly is about revelation, making clear Jesus, showing him. Christian preaching, speaking of Jesus, is part of God's act of revelation to people. It's supposed to be an eye-opener as we speak of Jesus, revealing Jesus, proclamation and revelation clearly. So if we first come to God in prayer, to speak to God, in here, speaking to God about people and the opportunity for the gospel to get through doors, then we come maybe verse 5 and 6. Partnership with God means speaking to people about God. Verse 5 has this interesting picture. Be wise in the way you act. Literally, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. It must be about understanding the situation and culture of those that we meet, those who are around us. This is about the ministry of everyone. We are all, if we believe in Jesus, here called now to make the most of things, walk wisely towards the outsider, and making the most of every opportunity. Be wise in the way you act, verse 5, make the most of every opportunity. I guess this is a little bit seasonal, but the picture here, I think, is about like buying or snapping up a bargain. So you're looking around and you see the thing, you snap up the bargain, make the most of the opportunity. You see it and you take it. It's there. But if you've been in a Christmas shopping throng, we're not to be rude or brash at this point. We're not kind of snatch and elbow someone else out of the way. Notice verse 6. Make the most of every opportunity, yes, but let your conversation be always full of grace. Have gracious conversations, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So as we speak to people, our manner of our speech is to be gracious. It's to be loving and kind. And there's the reality here, maybe the sanity here of conversation. We're not here kind of going, just sort of proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming Jesus. But this is a speaking, it's a conversation, it's relational, isn't it? It's going to be, conversation's going to be two-way. Our manner of our conversation is going to be about listening to people, understanding them, hearing them, and then a lovely sort of evocative language, seasoning our conversation with salt. As we have this two-way relational chat, we're listening, we're seeking to understand, and then we're seasoning our conversation with salt, with tasty bits of Christ, with something that provokes, something that maybe generates a question. Do you remember back in chapter 3, verse 17? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And surely this is an example, as we have conversations with those who don't know Jesus. We do it in Christ, graciously and seasoned with salt. So, if we're going to take up this challenge, being fellow adventurers in this season, what might it look like around Christmas? Can we mention a church carol service? Can we mention our own prayer life to that friend? Not demanding that they join in, but actually just sharing something that's important to us, that we are devoted to. Maybe talking about this season as looking forward to Jesus' birthday. That's what we try and talk about in our family. We're looking forward to Jesus' birthday. It's a birthday party, first and foremost. It might need practice. You might need to practice with a friend, with someone in your family, how to have that conversation and turn it round, season it about a bit, to shake off kind of the old habits. Devoted to prayer first, but then watchful, seizing every opportunity, ready to have those good conversations, ready and thankful to God and his relying on him. So partnership with God, speaking to God about people and speaking to people about God. Think about the questions you could ask. What have you enjoyed about carol services in the past? That sort of thing, trying to generate that conversation. Well, in the last part of our letter, verse 7 to 18, we come to final greetings. There's quite a lot here relative to most other letters. Remember, Paul had never met this church, but he's bringing people in, and we're going to come to what he's doing there. But we notice that the real people, real places, real situations. This is a letter based historically in a real place and time. This is sort of real historical document that we are dealing with. And we look briefly at the partnership with Paul that we can learn from, mostly from this first paragraph. As we come to Paul, we remember he has authority as an apostle. He has authority as an apostle. Notice verse 16. After this letter has been read to you, Paul writes, see to it that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. He has a ministry and it has an authority. Make sure you read this, take it in, and then pass it on. They need to hear this. You need to hear that. He has authority. He's still involved. He's not kind of, this church isn't sort of prayed from at a distance and sort of just let go. Notice what he's saying there in verse 7 to 9. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Have you pronounced these difficult names? Tychi and Onesi, they're the ones who are coming with the letter. They are sent to bring news of Paul. He's still involved to encourage you. And then later on, Mark, verse 10, there's instructions about Mark. We've already seen how he tells them there's instructions about other churches. There's a command, verse 17, about Archippus, the authority of this apostle who is still involved. Our partnership with the writers of these Gospels, the writers of the Bible, is to sit under the authority of God's word, isn't it? Not kind of above that and trying to work out what we think it might mean, but actually allowing God to speak into our hearts with authority through his writers, through his apostles. That apostle has authority, and he's also a model of partnership. He has this signature at the verse 18. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. It's as if he's taken the pen off the scribe and he's writing the last part with a flourish. He's connecting himself to them. This whole church, this whole letter, has been passionate about this Colossian church. And then as we see Tychicus and Onesimus there to bring news of him, news of what he's about, so that they know about him. He's finding out about them. Tychicus, we hear about in Acts, in 2 Timothy and Titus, in Ephesians. He's a close friend, aide to Paul. He has some glorious descriptions here. He's a dear brother, sort of a beloved partner. He's a faithful minister, servant of you, and also a fellow servant, kind of the slave of the Lord, like Paul himself. He's being sent to them. He's an important person, but Paul sends him to partner with this Colossian church. Or Onesimus, I think he's the same guy as in Philemon, the runaway slave, sent, sort of helped, a helper of Paul, but sent so that the Colossian church may be encouraged to tell you everything about us, verse 8, verse 9, to tell you everything that is happening here, to share news, to partner. Onesimus and later on Epaphras both described as one of you. Paul knows the Colossians and what they're like. He knows specific Colossians. He wants them to know that he knows them. He knows about them. We'll find out in verse 15 to 17. He knows what sorts of things are going on. And he wants them to know about him. What a great model of partnership together. Communication. So how about us with each other? Or maybe us and our leaders, our growth group leaders, the church leaders. So we share our circumstances. Are we ready to ask for help when we need it? I know lots of us are really good at offering help. Are we ready to ask help, to be vulnerable in that sense, to sharing our lives, our circumstances, and asking for the prayer that means something to us? Partnering with Paul means accepting his apostolic authority in his writings and looking to him as a great model of partnership. He had a great capacity for people, for sharing his ministry with other people and co-workers. And he had such a focus and fellowship in his mission and message. You are not on your own. So as adventurers, maybe it's a reminder to trust in the truth of the gospel. It's a historical thing. It's passed down by particular people in a particular time. It's passed on faithfully. This stuff happened. This Christmas story happened in a particular time and a place. And then ask for prayer. Share your ideas for witnessing and seizing the opportunities. Share the opportunities. Go together to that party, to that social, to that place where you know you'll be challenged or you'll be ready to witness. Partnering with God, partnering with Paul and kind of apostles, and then partnering with others in the family of God, this last bit from 10 to 17. There's lots of greetings here, all sorts of different ways of strengthening ties, making a connection with this young church. And if you were in Colossians earlier, you'll know that Paul can already speak, beginning of chapter 2, particularly of a deep partnership, a deep passion for this church. But it's interesting just to draw out a few of these examples of people. And maybe you'll think of your own partners in the gospel, people you particularly know, people in your family or in your congregation, ties to people in your Christian life. For instance, verse 10, Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner, maybe just sort of he's been met by Paul. We hear he's a Thessalonian, sort of in Acts 20. He's been traveling around with him before, but maybe now they're both bound together. Or Mark, verse 10. We find out in Acts 15 that he's had a falling out with Paul. They've gone separate ways in their mission trips. But here he is back again, Paul mentioning him with care, a rift healed. Different people in our lives we can think of, people who we've maybe been challenged together, been on a mission trip together, faced some sort of challenge together and have deep bonds with. People we might have fallen out with in the past and are still working on healing and forgiveness. Partners in the gospel. Paul can write of these guys plus Jesus, who's called Justus, as being fellow Jews. They're the same social background. They have the same sort of kind of Old Testament teaching background with him. They'd have had lots in common. And obviously, lots of us will have people who we have lots of common with and have those strong bonds. Gospel partners. Or maybe it's people like in the next few verses, verse 12 and 13, Epaphras. Back in chapter 1, we see that he was one of the key preachers and planters of this very church in Colossae. He's a great prayer, like Paul earlier. Here he is wrestling in prayer for you, praying into the will of God for this Colossian church, sort of seeing God's vision as a bigger thing, and then praying, wrestling in prayer for the Colossian church, working hard for them as he prays, prayer being a hard work for them. Maybe you can think of someone, maybe you owe humanly something of your Christian life to a Christian teacher or a Christian friend or a Christian sort of youth leader who spoke into your life, who encouraged you in an early stage, a gospel partner. Or verse 14, we come to Luke. We know him as kind of the gospel writer, the writer of Luke's gospel, the writer of Acts, and a fellow journeyer with Paul. And we come to Demas, who in 2 Timothy chapter 4 seems to fall away from the faith. Paul writes almost with tears in his eyes of this former friend who falls away. Maybe a reminder that as we look around at our gospel partners, we don't know what time will bring, but we seek to trust in them now. We seek to have deep partnership with people now. We don't know what will happen in the future, but as we are saved in Christ, we're united in Christ and have a responsibility to them in Christ. Different sorts of people. Verse 15, give my greetings to brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. You think of the other congregations in St. Mary's church family. Think of other churches in our denomination, the Church of England. And then across the world, we do this pretty well through our mission links. But do we have a sense of Christians meeting, even at this same time in other countries, in different languages, but united in Christ? And does that give us great courage for this season? We're not on our own. Internationally, there are billions of people who believe in our Saviour and our Lord, all the saints together, united in Christ, a sense of purpose a sense of loyalty to each other and prayer for each other. As we take this whistle-stop tour, we're reminded of all sorts of different connections. Finally, we come to Archippus, verse 17. See to it that you complete the work you've received in the Lord. It's quite a teaser. We don't know very much about him. Obviously, maybe he needed some sort of poke at this point, but he's to fulfill or complete his ministry. Interesting to come back to that theme of fullness that we've seen all the way through Colossians. Fullness of Christ, know the fullness of the gospel, do not seek to add things, and then complete, live in Christ and carry out the fullness of your ministry. Is that a poke for you? Is it a poke for you in plural? Is there a ministry that you need to complete? Or is there a person, a relationship that you're challenged to move on with this season? To take that extra step, to have that conversation at the next level, to mention Jesus, to invite to Christianity Explored, to share your testimony. What is the next step? See to it. You know what you have received in Christ. Live it out. Be ready to be an adventurer this season. Be ready to be brave and bold in Christ. Run the course. Live life in Christ. We have a partnership with others in deep fellowship. My prayer is that we know that more and more as part of the 6:30 congregation, through growth groups, through this time together, that we're able to share lives and we're able to feel about how we do mission and live our lives in Christ together. We have partnership through God's word with his apostles, with the writers. We sit under God's word and we see these godly models to try and copy and try and see how to put into practice in our lives. And we partner with God in full reliance on him and seeking his will. Brothers and sisters, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for doors to open, for clear proclamation of the measure of Christ, message of Christ. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen.